Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. This is the big match preview. This is our last big match preview of the season. Hope you guys are all well, gearing up for Saturday's game with Wycombe Wanderers, our last game of the campaign. Joining me to look ahead to that one, top right, Sue Gallop, who's back from a 1,000th holiday of the year. Hey, DNC.
I'm all good, thank you.
Good. So you got a tan, but I don't know if that's from your latest holiday or if that's from one a couple of months before.
Yeah, Zanzibar in October. No, this tan's from Egypt.
Yeah, lifestyle of the rich and the famous. So we just can't keep up with it. Well, a man who didn't quite get a tan in Margate, down the bottom of the screen there is Mark Newbury. How do you, Mark?
Yeah, no, but you're right, I didn't. Very nice day, and I was stalked by Benji from Charlton Live as well. He didn't realise he was sat about 40 yards behind me on the beach.
Did you get frostbite? Is there any chance you got that?
Or? No, it was nice. Nice day out.
Excellent stuff. So on this evening's show then, as I said, we'll gear up for the final game of the season against Wycombe Wanderers on Saturday. We're also going to go through the arduous task of deciding which players on our out-of-contract list will be kept and which ones we shall be releasing. So we're going to involve all of you guys. You're going to join us to do that. Evening to everyone who's joined us in the live chat, including Sam. He was first in there. Johan, All Hell Let Loose, Ludacris, Steve's in there. Paul's in there saying thank you for the show. It's our pleasure, Paul, over the season. We've enjoyed it very much. James says, evening all. The keep list shouldn't take too long. Well, we'll have a go and we'll go through it. Yeah, so good evening, everyone in the chat. We're going to get you involved with what we're doing this evening. Find out which players you'd like to see us keep, which ones you'd like to see leave as well. I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff we can chat about as well. And All Hell Let Loose is asking what we made of Charlie Mevin's interview with the club media channels as well. Jay's in there down the bottom as well as Gary. Loads of things to talk about this evening. So we'll dive straight into it. So this summer, of course, going to be a big summer for the club. Nathan Jones has said that himself. I think Charlie Mevin made it clear as well. There's going to be a bit of change over the course of the summer break. So, of course, that includes transfers and players that need to be kept and released. Well, Nathan was asked to look ahead to the summer transfer window earlier on today.
Occasions now that although the season ends at the weekend, you'll then become your busiest over the next few weeks and months. Maybe for shaping next season. How difficult is that to plan, though, when you consider that across all divisions there's still a number of games left, right, whether it be playoffs or league games? How difficult it is to have discussions and plan things with that going on?
Look, it's always tough. The transfer window's always tough and things, but they're exciting, you know. They're especially when you see players land and you see, you know, how your squad shaping up. It's a really exciting time. It's hard work. It's probably as big a time-consuming time for me, and you know, when everyone else is holidays and stuff, I'm travelling the country, I'm having meetings, I'm trying to persuade, I'm on the phone, and that's what the life of a manager is. But this time is so essential. It's so essential now to come out so that in June, so we come back on June 27th or whatever it is, and I'd like us, one, to be almost complete, the squad. It's always maybe one, two at maximum that you haven't quite got in, but I want us to be as almost complete as we possibly can be, so that they get full pre-season, get the full games program, and we're able to have as many as we can and affect as many as we can moving forward into the August start.
There you go, that's Nathan then speaking to Terry earlier on today about the business we want to do in the summer, and not the first manager who said it, Sue, but reiterated that we'd like to get business done as early as possible, so as many people are there for the start of pre-season effectively. How likely is that to happen? Because I think we've heard that a lot and it never happens. I mean, do you think this will be the year that they can get their sort of their ducks in a row in time?
I think in some respects it depends on who's leading on it, because if it's up to Nathan, then yeah, it's going to happen. But negotiations wise and stuff, if that's down to Andy or Charlie or Jim, I don't know who kind of would be the main person that would be doing that stuff. I guess it depends on how well those talks go. I mean, if you as a player, I can imagine you would, having a conversation with Nathan Jones, you would want to play for Charlton. However, I guess not knowing what we're able to offer players in terms of wages and contract length and that sort of thing, it's all that sort of thing that comes into consideration when players are considering where their next move is. So I think our main selling point is that we've got Nathan as manager. So in that respect, I would hope that it would be fairly straightforward. But as we know, these things aren't always that easy, and a lot, like, it comes down to the money and the contracts at the end of the day. And I think the caliber of player that we're going to need to get us promoted next season is going to be a lot higher than what we've kind of been aiming at for the last two or three seasons. So I think that's going to be the challenge. But like I say, Nathan is probably our biggest selling point. And if we can keep hold of people like Alfie and George, then that's going to be even more reason for people to want to come and sign for us.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie says, let's get championship quality players in through the door. Goalkeeper, two defenders in a winger, at least, please. Sam says, it feels like the first window in ages where we have a settled manager and ownership in place at the same time. Ian says, a top keeper, two centre halves, goal scoring midfielder. Put all the current centre halves up for sale. All hell let loose, says, as a player, if you spoke to Andy Scott, you wouldn't want to touch us with a barge pole. Well, we've signed players since Andy's come in, of course. I don't know if he's put people off joining the club. Yeah, Andrew's saying, I wonder if the owners have told Nathan how much money they've got to spend and how much it would cost to buy Dobbo. Well, I don't know if that'll be involved. No, Sam reckons he doesn't think that Andy will be involved, especially after the last window, and pushing for Appleton to get the job as well. And Luke points out, what championship quality players will want to come to a club that's 16th in League One, though? Well, yeah, that's the big question. Obviously, we'll see exactly what Nathan Jones's pulling power is, I guess, this summer, Mark. So whilst Nathan has got a lot of work to do in the summer, he would have already started on the work that we're about to sit down and do now, Mark. So as you can see on the screen, I've presented to you a list of all the players that are going to be coming out of contract at the end of the season. As you can see, right at the very top there, Lucas Ness. The club has already taken the option, so he was on the list, but now actually the club have signed him on the option, so he's going to be staying for at least one more year. So I thought maybe just mention that first, Mark, because I don't think we actually spoke about that the other day. I can't remember if we did, but were you pleased to see Lucas get more time with the club?
Yeah, I was. I know there'd been a bit of negativity about him. I'm thinking, but when he first came in, we were impressed with him. We thought, this is another young one. I think he suffered from probably a little too much pressure on him at the time. And ideally, you would have pulled him out a little sooner. Then he had his injury and then came back and it wasn't as good. But sometimes it's how that player's dealing with that injury. I liked what I saw of him. And I thought to myself, he's a youngster who we can mould and we hadn't seen the best of yet. So I thought all the sort of like detractors were saying, dump him. I thought that was a bit unfair for his Asian experience, where, he was playing alongside a lot more experienced defenders who were making quite a few more rickets than he was. So, no, I was pleased to see him. And it's funny because I'm looking down your list and I would say I've three I would keep on that. And that was it. That would be it. That's three.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start going through them one by one now to really sort of separate the wheat from the chaff, as Luke Linham's saying. What a lovely Excel spreadsheet, Louis. This is what separates Charlton Live from the rest. Well, what can I say? I can't help myself when it comes to Excel. Right, so let's start at the top, Sue. You've possibly got the easiest job of all, although you do have to take into account the circumstances. So if this was literally George Dobson is coming to the end of his contract, it would be very easy just to say, right, extend his contract. But we know we're in this situation now where he's got the pre-contract signed with Fehervar out in Hungary. There's been loads of talk by Nathan Jones about how he'd like to keep him, but there's obviously reality hitting a little bit in that it might be quite hard to keep someone who's signed to a different club. You'd have to go and buy them back. So you have to weigh up in your mind here, Sue. And obviously everyone in the chat as well, let us know. Dobson first, will you do everything you can to keep him? Or will, with his pre-contract signed elsewhere, would you let him go now because of how difficult it will be to keep him? But Sue, weigh up your thoughts and let us know where you'd start with the Addicts skipper, George Dobson.
I would do everything possible to keep him. I still query at times whether he's the right person to be captain, but I would always want him in my team because the energy, the influence, the ability, I just absolutely love him. And I think even if it's going to cost us money, which it looks like it probably would, because if there's this pre-contract already signed, I would just do it. Just do it. We need to keep people like Dobbo that get the club, that know what the club means to the fans, that understand it. I mean, when we got him in, we were getting pelters, weren't we? Oh, he's not all that. Like, people were just sort of bad-mouthing him quite a lot. And he's been absolutely unbelievable for us. And I said it right from the start. I felt like, and this is going to be a big statement, he's got the potential to be our new Jacko. And so I would do everything possible to keep him.
I mean, loads of people in the chat are saying similar. Lawrence is saying I'd give some fingers to keep Dobbo. Stuart said he'd keep Dobbo as well. Gary says definitely keep Dobbo. Andrew says definitely keep Dobbo. Luke says Dobbo would be a keeper, though I don't like him in this slightly further forward midfield position that he's playing in. Well, funnily enough, I thought he's sort of grown into that role. Obviously, he scored the goal the other day, but is he as creative as someone playing that far forward? I guess that's a debate. Yeah, I mean, Sam and Robbie are asking us a question we just simply don't know the answer to, is how much would the compo be for Dobbo to, you know, how much would we have to sign him for effectively? I think the question we're asking there is how much would we pay to sign George Dobson if he was playing for someone else? That's the question, Mark. I'm not going to ask you for a figure, but is there anything you'd add to that can dissuade me from changing this decide to a keep on the Excel spreadsheet?
Not really, apart from looking down at those names and saying, well, maybe say to his club, look, we'll keep Dobbo and we'll give you Scott Fraser plus, you know, as three more names, which we'll come to. You can have all four of them for the same price. Yeah. I don't know. It's difficult with a compensation clause. And, yeah, I'd like him to stay. But it's in the lap of the gods.
It might be difficult to persuade Scott Fraser to move to Hungary when the whole reason he wanted to go back to Scotland because he was homesick. I've never been to Hungary. I don't know how similar it is to Scotland, but it's definitely not in Scotland. Right, we're down to the next one in the list. These are in no particular order, by the way. I just took them off CFC Facts and Stats' excellent Twitter account, as per always, just to get all the names in a list. So the next one's Michael Hector. So again, everyone in the chat, let us know. Michael Hector, would you give him another deal? Would you let him go, Sue? The spotlight's on you with Michael Hector.
I'd probably get rid.
Mm.
I think the inconsistency is the worry for me. I had such big hopes when we got him in, because of the experience that he's got, and there were periods of time where he looked all right, but I just think there's how the season has gone for one of your older players, you would expect them to step up and be a leader. We've been missing that.
I mean, this is one of the worst defences in League One, Mark. There's only Carlisle have kept fewer clean sheets than us. I think there's, in terms of goals conceded, we're ninth. So it's tightened up slightly, I'd suggest, since Nathan's come in, but still not many clean sheets. And when we say we're ninth, we're joint seventh in terms of worst clean sheets. Burton and Shrewsbury have conceded the same as us. So, yeah, Michael obviously played a part in that defence. He was injured for spells of it. He's had some good games. He's had some bad games. Overall, Mark, where do you sit with Heck?
I said earlier in the private chat that someone on Twitter had put out, if Dobson wasn't captain next season, who would you like to see? And Hector was one of the choices. And I said, after Saturday, I don't want to see Hector in a Charlton shirt again. I think he believes his own hype. We expected so much more from him with his reputation of being a big, strong, sturdy centre-half, but he too many rickets, not enough leadership shown on the pitch. Where you look to him and you're thinking, well, you know, you should be talking, communicating, getting everyone organised, and it just doesn't happen. And I just think to myself, of course he'd love another year here because it's not really stressing him out, but it's stressing the rest of us out. So, no, I would get gone straight away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people. I think Robbie's talking about Hector there, saying maybe a bench warmer. Stuart saying Hector gets the bullet. He's too inconsistent. 76 Rufus says, let him go. He's a nice guy, but he's had his time. Gary says, no, I wouldn't keep Hector. D-Mac said he wouldn't keep him. Andrew says, let him go. Stuart says, the middle of the defence needs new blood. Paul reckons that Heck has to go. Frustrating. Has the skills, but far too laid back and inconsistent. I mean, keep saying the whole back line needs to go. All hell let loose says, no to Heck, but don't let the mod mag people know what I said. It was there a vote earlier on over who could be captain next season. So, a few people talking about how I think Dean's saying no chance as well with Heck. So, unfortunately, Michael Hector is on the release list. Another one of our centre-halves, Sue Terrell Thomas, obviously came up through the Addicts Youth ranks, went away. He's come back for the last season and a half or so. Nearly two seasons, actually, with us, I think, Terrell. Played a lot of games under Nathan Jones, but will he be playing many more after Saturday?
I would keep Terrell. And the reason I say that is we have seen an improvement in his game since Nathan came in. I know he is part of this defence that has had such a terrible time, but I feel like with a decent pre-season under Nathan, he could make a big improvement. So I know a lot of people are not going to agree with me. I can already see in the chat, but I would keep Terrell.
Yeah, well, it's a democracy. Everyone's allowed their voice. So you might be being outvoted here, Sue, but let's see what Mark says on Terrell Thomas.
He goes, unfortunately. Look, this one was one of the harder ones to think about, but I just think to myself, yes, he has improved, but he still looks limited in what he does. And you're still not 100% when you see his name thinking, unfortunately, with centre halves, you're looking for a pairing, a partnership, and you can't see him partnering Jones or Gillespie for a season. And yes, he can play full back, and a couple of times with left back, he's actually done, you know, pretty well for a guy his size. But no, I think it's one of those ones. It would be with a slightly heavy heart, because I did when he came back, I was pleased to see him back because I remember him in the youths and stuff. But no, I think it's time for him to move on.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll go through the chats as well. So it's 1-1 in the studio there, but in the chat, Sam saying we've got to sell Hector and Thomas or get let them go. Stuart says Terrell, no way. D-Mac says Thomas, no. All hell let loose saying maybe if we need cover as a left-footed bench warmer. Luke says Thomas has to go. Ian says Terrell is decent but not for a promotion side. Yeah, Dean said Hector and Thomas to go. 76 Rufus, Terrell has had a good second half of the season. When he's had one role to do, he's good, but don't try and get him to play forward or be fancy. Gary says Terrell can go to Welling. Robbie says he makes too many errors at poor decision making. Paul said, yeah, he's a solid citizen, but not a starter, as a backup at best. Joseph says he's improved under Nathan Jones. Let's see what Nathan Jones can do with an average player, but Luke says he's not part of a promotion team. Andrew says keep him as a squad player. Nick says could be good next to someone solid. So there's more of a mixed response, but I'd say I think the chat's still leaning towards letting him go. I mean, Luke says he reminds me of Akin Fainwell just shanking balls out of play. And then Shiny Phil says, Lenny Lawrence turned our 1985 team into a promotion winning team by replacing all four defenders and making a couple of changes elsewhere. So he says, Hector out, Thomas out, bring in better. So let the record show that there certainly was some people who wanted to keep Terrell Thomas. But I think overall the chat has lent towards release. So Terrell would be released if the Cheltenham Live audience had any say. Right, Richard Chin's the next one, who's been out on loan quite a lot. So I think this will probably be quite a short one, unfortunately.
Yeah, to be fair, I've not seen. I think he had a couple of cup games, maybe a couple of appearances in the first team. Again, I can't imagine he's on great amounts of money, but if it frees up some wages, then let him go.
Yeah, let us know in the chat about Dickie Chin. But Mark, for you,
yeah, he's another one who's gone. I think it was one of the ones where they looked at the kids with potential. And they give him a try, and obviously they see it day in, day out. That's why he's out on loan, but you don't hear anything about him. So, no, I think there's space there available.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, Stuart saying Richard Chin, who is he? Goodbye. All hell let loose saying, yeah, I mean, this is the point that I think is fair. Chin might be better off developing elsewhere. All hell let loose is put in non-league. I mean, Robbie says Chinny hasn't had a chance. Maybe he'd do well in League Two. And Joseph says, can't make an informed decision as I have little to no data on him or in the press, though it will free up space. Yeah, and Andrew and Ian both say, you know, no future really for Richard Chin at Charlton. So that's not to mean his career is going to be over, but maybe it's time for him to start and play his trade elsewhere and get that consistent game time he needs. You know, and we've seen many players who we've released over the years who've got consistent game times further down the divisions and managed to build a career out of that. I mean, 76 Rufus saying that Chin is a great National League South player. Dartford, love him. Luke says he could be one that develops and comes back to bite us potentially. And let's hope that's how it works out for him, because he's a good lad who's tried his best with us and had some good moments, but just hasn't really been given many chances to feature. Right, someone who I forgot played for us, Sue, Jack Payne's been on loan with Milton Keynes, I think, over the last little while. Part of the Ben Garner revolution, but unfortunately was revolved out of the door quite quickly this season. Is that a good season with MK? I'll put it that far at League Two level. Does that win you over for our push for promotion?
No.
And Mark, how about you?
It's hard to see where he would fit into a Nathan Jones type of team, really. So I didn't dislike him greatly. I think he didn't really get a solid spell with us. And, you know, if he's doing well at another club, let him go.
Yeah, again, maybe his time's up with us. Michael says no for Payne. He had a good season at League Two with Swindon as well. That's what sort of made us buy him, really, wasn't it? Jay said he's great in the air. We did score. He scored more headers than Jaden Stockley did at one point last season. Early on, Stuart says no way. Goodbye. I thought he'd gone already. All hell let loose says he loves his energy, but he is League Two. Robbie says he's not good enough for me. John says I'm not convinced by Jack the mascot Payne. Times to go. DMAC thought he'd already gone as well. Jason said, I literally forgot he existed until my brother-in-law said his name before the last home match. Free up all of the wage space available by. Yeah, Ian says too small. Payne is in the Williams mould, according to Jay. Andrew says, I liked Payne, but not enough pace for that type of player. Luke says he's not a bad player, but he needs a fresh start. Gary says Payne is not good enough. So that's another one that we're releasing. That's four in a row. Now, this will be an interesting one, I think. I think this will garner some debate. Tyrese Campbell is coming up to the end of his contract as it stands. I made it quite clear at the start of the season, I'm a big fan of Tyrese Campbell. Don't think he's had a very good season. I think that's fair to say, obviously, along with the rest of them as well. Sue, would you give him another chance? Well, I don't really know where he is in his career. I think if we let him go, I imagine another League One club would have a go on him. So, yeah, what should we do in this situation?
I'd keep him. I'd give him, like, I don't know. Can you do an 18-month contract? I think there is, you can see the potential. And I've just read that he's a confidence player and he hasn't got his confidence. I think having that bit of space during pre-season for Nathan to build him back up again and whatever players come in, I would keep him. Funny enough, he was actually linked to Hastings United in the summer last year as coming down on loan to us, or the season before that, I think it was. And then someone had got injured, so it fell through. But I feel like he's a squad player at the moment. He wouldn't be a starter for me, but I would definitely keep him.
Yeah, I mean, there was quite a few people pointed out, yeah, Sam's pointed out he's looked better in his cameos with Jones than he had at other points this season. So funny enough, there was a game he started recently, which I think was Cambridge away, where I felt he didn't play that well. But he has looked really lively off the bench under Jones, which he wasn't massively doing or even coming close to doing under Michael Appleton, where, you know, a lot of players had their confidence sapped. Mark, and which way would you go on TC?
I like him. I'd keep him. I think he needs to spend a little more time in the gym, beef up a bit, get himself some muscle, make him harder to knock off a ball. But I like his shot. I think you're right, it's all about confidence with him. I think Nathan would be the right manager to sort of like put his arm around him and say, look how good you could be. So, no, I like him. I'd keep him. I don't think, because everyone's saying about, oh, you know, keep someone for the bench. You know, if you kept him for the bench, I don't think that's a bad option to come off the bench. Exciting, you know, it could run at people in the last 15, 20 minutes. So, no, I'm a keeper.
Excellent. Yeah, well, a lot of people in the chat. All Hell Let Loose says TC is the only attacking player who wants to take defenders on. Jay says he's only going to get confidence if he plays, but he's not going to play. Well, that's an interesting point. But, I mean, as Sue said, you know, what's he going to look like after a pre-season with Nathan Jones? Nathan does seem to revitalize that sort of player. As in a confidence player. Yeah, Jason says he's come on strong the last few games. If he could get stronger over the summer, I'd say he's good value for pace off the bench. I mean, Aaron says it depends what formation we play. I'd keep TC and loan him for 6 months. Yeah, quite a few people have said maybe get him, you know, sign him up and then give him a loan elsewhere for a little while to get some game time. Gary said he needs to get his confidence back. John says he'd definitely keep him. D-Max, and yeah, there's a player in there who's had plenty of good chances and never really delivered time for him to move on. So there's one or two people saying maybe to move him on as well. Luke says Tyrese keep and loan out is frustrating, but he's got something. Jake said the same about loaning him out. But yeah, a few more people above Andrew. The two Andrews both saying keep him. And Robbie's saying he should stay, plenty of potential, and he can only get better under Nathan Jones. So it looks like TC is going to be on the keep list, which is, I think that's a decision I would have made as well. Right, another very quick one. DJ, never as a player let me down as much as DJ, because I thought he was going to be really good after the COVID season under Nigel Adkins. He played really well in the second half of that season. I remember Sunderland away, which obviously no one was at, other than watching it on TV, but I was up there and he absolutely ripped Sunderland apart that day, and I thought, right, here we go. Then he scored against Welling in pre-season, which never think someone's going to have a good season because they score at Welling, but I did. So yeah, he's been on loan somewhere in Scotland or something. Sue, should we just quickly say no so we can get through him quickly?
Yeah, no, I saw him play for a bit for AFC Wimbledon as well, and he was shocking, so no, bye.
Mark?
No, did you tip him to be player of the year that season as well?
Yeah, I did. Yep, yep. To be fair, we've had some pretty bad seasons, so he's probably still in the running either way. But pretty much everyone's saying get rid of him. Yeah, I'm not even going to go through all those comments. Everyone's just saying get rid of him. So unfortunately, DJ had the classic, scored against us. We signed him, turned out not to be quite as good as we were hoping. Right, the next two, the decision, again, similar to Lucas Ness, might be taken away from us, but Thierry Small has an option on his contract, so the club could decide to keep him very shortly, Sue. Would that be the decision you'd make?
Yes. I would say the small amount I've seen him, I was very impressed. So, yeah, I would definitely keep him.
Yeah, Mark, yourself for
Thierry Small? Yeah, keep him. I'm a fan. I think he's got something to prove, and I want players who come here with something to prove. So I'd keep him.
Yeah, and pretty much everyone in the chat is going that way as well. Jay saying Small, we should keep him. Yeah, keep Thierry from Andrew. Michael saying Small is a clear yes. Yeah, D-Mac saying the same. Ian, it's a no-brainer, according to Paul and Thierry. Yep, Stuart saying he's a class player. Absolutely keep him. Snap him up. Robbie Smith says Small has got to be kept. Looks the part. He definitely gets up and down the pitch really well, doesn't he? I still think slightly more end product on the crossing than that. But also, actually, I'd say there's a couple of great crosses he put over last Saturday. One that Anderson headed over the bar was exactly the sort of thing I want to see more of. But I think the more he plays, the more we'll get that. And obviously working with Nathan again, I think we'll be good for him. Yeah, everyone in the chat saying keep him. It's an easy decision, says Sam. Luke says keep him. Adoy says, I can't believe he's only 19. He's certainly really well sort of built for that age, isn't he? Looks strong on the ball. Shiny Phil saying Thierry is the sort of player we need. Right, if some of you had forgotten that Jack Payne existed, I'm guessing there's a reasonable chance that a lot of you didn't know that Lewis Ward actually does exist, let alone forgot he existed. So he's the goalkeeper we signed from Swindon, I think Swindon, in the January window. He's actually been on the bench the last two or three games, which is nice for him, but he hasn't played any minutes as far as I can remember, Sue. I mean, we need a new goalkeeper. Is he right under Ifar's nose and we haven't realised?
I think ones like this are difficult because we haven't seen them, so we don't know what they're like.
So I mean, with the goalkeeping problems we've had, the fact he can't get ahead of... Yeah.
We need a new keeper, without a doubt. But whether that's Ward or not, I have no idea because I don't know anything about him. So I would probably say get rid.
Yeah. The only thing I know about Lewis Ward is he can't get in the side ahead of our two current goalkeepers. Mark, does that sway your decision, that fact I've just given you there?
I'd keep him as the third keeper. I know that because I'm thinking you could get rid of both the first two, but you wouldn't promote him up yet. So, I mean, look, obviously the coaches and staff have seen something in him because you just don't go out and get a random keeper from Swindon just for laughs. You know, he's not a Panini sticker.
You say that, but I think we have. I think we have collected one.
Yeah, he's not a Panini sticker you need for your collection. But I'm thinking, yeah, we haven't seen anything of him. So, but the people who have, obviously, something about him. I'd be a potential keep him as a third if that's an option.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's not really an option. So a couple of people have said maybe he was bought in to sort of be like, because apparently at Swindon he was doing a bit of coaching at the time. But I mean, he's only 27. Like you'd expect he still want to be out there playing games. He's not played a great deal over the last 5 or 6 years. He's only played about 23 league games in that amount of time. So maybe he is more on the coaching front. But I mean, if we're talking purely as a first team player, and again going through the chat, I suggest that he wouldn't be here as a first team player. If it is some sort of coaching thing and him being an additional goalkeeper just in case, then maybe that'd be a different decision. But I think just looking at some of the chat there, I think we'll go for release on that front, just because yeah, we don't really know anything about him, and we've seen nothing to suggest so far that he'll be getting ahead of the keepers we have. Right, last two are the ones that are going to be quite interesting, I guess. So again, you have to weigh up injuries or fitness or whatever with the undoubted quality that he has. But Connor Wickham, Sue, would you offer him a deal at the end of his short-term spell with us?
Yeah, I'd give him a season. I think that with his experience and his ability that we know he's got, obviously, I think it's been difficult this season because we haven't had him for that long and he's clearly not match fit. So you're already behind when you're coming into a squad when you're not fit. If he has a decent pre-season, I think he could be one of our star men next season. So I would definitely keep him.
Interesting. We've got a way up, obviously, as a couple of people are putting in the chat. But James says, you know, Wickham is exactly what we need, but we're already carrying Chooks in the squad. We can't afford another Croc. So another player who's not been fit the entire time he's been here, Mark, is that too much of a risk to take? When I say when you balance it off against his undoubted quality, I mean, the goal he scored against Cambridge, I think, is, as a striker's finish, probably the best goal we've scored this season in terms of that sort of technical finishing.
Oh, I'd keep him. I mean, I think you want experienced players, you know, and he's got it in reams. He really has. And I think other strikers can learn from him as well. Keeping him fit, again, comes in, give him contract, gets a good pre-season. There's no reason to say that he's going to break down all with the time. Then you're looking, hold on, that's five strikers we're holding at the moment. What does one of them get sold? You know, because Nathan, got you bear in mind, Nathan said he wants to trim the squad. He wants it down to like 23 plus for kids as backup. And if you were doing a five strikers is just too many. I like him. I'd keep him because just for what he would bring to the bench, because we've talked this season about look behind you on the bench, who's going to change the game? Wickham can come on and do that. He's got the experience. He's got the knowledge. I'd offer him. I'd offer him a contract.
Excellent. Well, in the chat, I think, yeah, a lot of people saying keep him. Yeah, so it, like I say, it's balancing up that thing, that thing with Chooks and Ike. But yeah, I mean, Aaron's saying keep Wickham short term. Joseph said Wickham keep his not delivered, but will fit in NJ's team and experience we are lacking. Yeah, John says definitely keep him. Robbie says, was it Wickham or Anika? I mean, that's the question, isn't it? But yeah, Jason says, I think a full season starting with a summer could worth being take the risk on him. Yeah, quite a few people saying that. Yeah, I mean, Shiny Phil's pointing out it's a gamble. He's quality, but we don't want him playing against us either. Yeah, you can guarantee if we don't sign him, we'll be fit for two games in the season. They'll both be against us, won't they? Andrew says, keep him for his experience. Another Andrew says, strikers are hard to come by, but Aaron says he wouldn't lose sleep if he goes. So there's a few people sort of weighing up, and you know, Dean said he's undecided. Paul says he's got great ability, but he'll never do 40 games a season. Heart ruling head, I'd keep him. Yeah, so there's a lot of people trying to decide. David saying whether you keep Wickham is dependent on if a better player in his position comes in as well. So yeah, I'd say it's not as clear cut as some of them. But yeah, we'll see. Jake saying he's agreed with all of them except maybe Terrell, which we've got down as a release. So I think I'm going to put keep. I think that's what the chat has decided. That was the wrong one. But we'll see how that pans out. And then finally, another one that's probably easy. I knew this was a player that I haven't seen play much, Sue, because I had to Google how to spell his name. And normally after a while, I just learn them. Kazenga Lualua came in with high hopes. You know, unfortunately, his ability to play on the moon has not translated into the ability to play in League One for Charlton.
Yeah, it's a sad one for me because we've all watched him quite a lot playing in the Prem and just doing really well under teams that Nathan has been manager of. And he was at Brighton. I thought he was just unbelievable. But it just sadly, it doesn't look like it's working for him for whatever reason. So yeah, I can't see. Like Mark's already said, if Nave's looking to make the squad smaller, I think he's kind of what you would say probably a bit of a luxury that we don't need, that may not be able to be up to the job that we need him for.
Yeah, I think a lot of the chat saying similar. Andrew saying he's past his best. I mean, there's a few people like Johan saying he's not had enough game time to be certain, but Dean saying he's past his best. Gary saying definitely a no. All hell let loose says get rid. Robbie says not sure he fits in. Man like Mark says he's a busted flush. I mean, Shiny Phil says, you know, he's not seen enough of Lualua, so we'll have to trust Jones's judgment on that. But I think if Nathan had seen enough of what he wanted, Mark, maybe in the last few weeks he would have played a bit more.
Yeah, I to be honest, I raised an eyebrow when he came in on loan. Because you remember him, like Sue says, you remember the quality he had. And then you just looked and thought to yourself, it's not right. It's not working. It's not, there's something not there anymore. And it's, you know, it's time to take the out to the pasture and fetch your rifle, I think.
All right. I mean, that's normally we just release them rather than shoot them, but let's see. You know, hopefully Nathan will be a bit kinder, Mark. Right, yeah. So we've come to the end of our list of players we'd keep or release. So there's a few. Well, I've done it again. There's a few in there that we'd keep. Certainly, there's a few that we'd release. But the good news is what we've just done here is we've saved Nathan Jones a lot of time. I'll just send him this list over on email. He'll take that to the HR department, and that's his summer business sorted, and he can concentrate on starting to sign new players for next season. Right, we're going to have a quick break. When we come back, it is time to look ahead to our final game of the season, the trip over to Adams Park on Saturday to take on Wycombe Wanderers. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. There's a couple of comments about people we haven't mentioned. So the players who have been out on loan but actually still have more time on their deal. So we're talking about Scott Fraser. We're talking about Conor McGrandles, who's still got another year as well. The only thing I can say, I mean, if we're going to talk about players who still have time, we could have talked about the whole squad and we could have been here all day. I mean, if it's possible to get those two players off our books, I'm sure we'll take that opportunity if it comes. But we'll see how that works out. I certainly don't think that either of those would be part of any massive plans as far as I'm concerned. But we'll have to see how that plays out in the summer. Right, Saturday, we're making the trip over to Adams Park to look ahead to a play Wycombe Wanderers, our last game of the campaign. Now, normally we get James Richens from the Bucks Free Press on live, but Wycombe are having their Player of the Year dinner, I think, or something tonight, so he couldn't come on live. So I spoke to him last night, and this is what James had to say when I asked him exactly how Wycombe's season has gone this year. Now, by James Richens from the Bucks Free Press, who covers Wycombe Wanderers home and away, and well, Wycombe, just like ourselves, season ending on Saturday, no chance of making the playoffs. James, how would you sum up Wycombe's season?
It'll be a season of two halves, Louis. Really, really so. The first half of the season was very, very mixed. A lot of disappointing results, a lot of disappointing performances, which included a run without a win in 12 league games, which saw Wycombe, I believe, go from 8th to 19th across the autumn-winter months. And there was genuine concern that Wycombe were going to be dragged into a relegation fight. But since New Year's Day, when Wycombe's 12-game winless run ended at home to Bristol Rovers, Wycombe have been a completely different team. And I think now, if we were to beat Charlton on Saturday, which I believe will be the 23rd game since then, Wycombe would technically be in the top six. So it's been a very, very mixed season. A lot of goods, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. But yeah, I think it's fair to say it's been a very mixed season.
Yeah, I mean, how would you say it has sort of come in terms of expectations for the club this year? Obviously, everyone remembers the fact they've been in the Championship relatively recently. They hit playoff finals as well. How do Wycombe fans sort of see this in comparison to where they hope that Wycombe would be this season?
I think this season was always going to be a free hit because Matt Bloomfield is still a very raw manager of what he wants to do. This was the first season of his career as a manager that he was going to get the whole season to do what he wanted to do. So it was never going to be easy. And I remember mentioning at the start of the season, there will be bumps in the road and it will be very difficult. And lo and behold, that's turned out to be the case. I think some fans were expecting playoffs or get to near the playoffs after the successes of recent seasons. But ultimately, that isn't going to be realistic. Under Gareth Ainsworth, Wickham had a very specific type of structure. Matt Bloomfield's come in and he's very much focusing on the data, the science, and he wants to have a more progressive side, which is what Wickham have tried to do. So if you were to look at the first half of the season with the players he's brought in, most of the players that he signed in July and August time aren't at the club now. They left in January, and the January transfer window, in my opinion, was one of the best things that could have happened to Wickham because they were able to get the players in that weren't really doing it for Bloomfield on a regular basis, and they've managed to get players in that really do fit the mould. The likes of Richard Kone, for example, Nigel Longwijk, the Dutch centre-back on loan from Wolves. He really wants to focus on players that are at Premier League clubs. That's the way he wants to go. So this season was always going to be a bit of a free hit for Wickham. But if Wickham finished 10th, that is a really, really good season considering they were 19th around Christmas time.
Yeah, and how is Matt Bloomfield viewed by the fans? Obviously, he comes in as a club legend anyway, but in his first managerial role.
Yeah, well, he spent nearly 20 years as a player at Wickham. And he's been there and done it. You know, he started, you know, he's been with the club from the Championship, League One, League Two, multiple promotions. I think his last three Wembley appearances for Wickham have been player, coach, and then manager. So he really has gone up through the ranks. And when Wickham signed him from Colchester last February to replace Gareth Ainsworth, there was a huge buzz around the place. Everyone was loving the fact he was back. And whilst it has been very difficult in certain parts of the season, he has continued to stick by his principles and stick by his thought process. And ultimately, we are now seeing the rewards of his work. Matt Bloomfield, just, I've been saying this all season, he just needed time and he just needed patience in order for him to get what he wants to be flourishing. And we've seen that. I think Wickham at the moment, they're unbeaten in their last six away games. If this was back in December, November time, Wickham would have probably lost all of them. There was a period of time Wickham were conceding very, very late goals. But now, several clean sheets, several good performances on the road. It's been a really good end of the season for Wickham.
Yeah, and Saturday will be a special day in particular for one man. Joe Jacobson's going to make his 400th and last appearance for the club. So I guess it's going to be an emotional day for the Wickham supporters.
Very much. So JJ is loved around Adams Park for what he's done, for what he's done for Wickham. He's been there for a decade. It was his goal that sent Wickham up to the Championship against Oxford in that playoff final at Wembley, an empty Wembley Stadium because of the pandemic. And he just loves the place and the fans love him. And it will be an emotional day. This has been on the cards for a little while because he hasn't played at all really this season. I think he's played less than 10 games, give or take. So the writing was on the wall, but Joe Jacobson is an absolute club legend. He's loved by everyone. And Wickham won't just be losing a player. They'll be losing a real leader and a top, top person away from football. He's just one of the loveliest blokes you'll ever meet. And he will be a huge miss for Wickham because he's done so much for the club.
And I'm just looking ahead to Saturday then in terms of other danger, man. I guess it's always hard to read exactly how a final game of the season can go when various people might not be playing or might be already on the beach. But if there are danger men that Charlton should be wary of in the Wickham side, who would you say they are?
Well, Gareth McCleary being one of them. I think you know a lot about Gareth McCleary or Bromley links. So yeah, he'll certainly be one to look out for. Richard Kone, the young Ivorian who Wickham signed in January. He's so raw. He's very, very raw and he's just very unpredictable. He scored a handful of goals since making the jump from non-league to professional football in January. So he's one to look out for. Luke Leahy, Wickham's top goal scorer this season. In my opinion, he's been Wickham's player of the year. He's been absolutely fantastic. Very good at set pieces as well. Nigel Longwijk on loan from Wolves, a centre-back. He's been very good since coming in. He reminds me, everyone says Virgil van Dijk sort of player, but to me, he reminds me of Rio Ferdinand with the way he can play with the ball at his feet. He's very composed, very, very good on the ball. And he's popped up with a couple of goals this season, one of them being an overhead kick against Reading. So he's got that in his locker. So there are several players to look out for. But as you say, it will be a bit hard to pick because with it being the last day of the season, we might see a few faces that haven't really been playing much this season. One being Joe Jacobson.
There we go. That's James speaking to myself, looking ahead to Saturday's game from a Wickham point of view. I won't go too much over. James has given us all the details around Wickham. The only thing I will say is their last game was that draw with Cambridge on Tuesday night. Now, I don't know if anyone likes to surf the internet after a game online and stuff. So if you're interested in who gave away the penalty, it was Lyle Taylor, who apparently is absolutely hated by the Cambridge United fans. So we got a little taste of that, Mark, didn't we, when we had, I've forgotten the geezer's name, from Under the Abbey Pod on a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, he's he doesn't look like he's Mr. Popular, and he's given away a penalty, which means they could still go down on the last day. It's unlikely, but they could still go down.
Oh dear, so sad. Bye-bye.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear from Nathan Jones ahead of the trip to Wickham then on the final day. The Alex boss spoke to Terry earlier on this afternoon.
Objective was safety, and you and the team have achieved that. Sometimes that can cause a side to maybe over-relax. Was there a bit of that on Saturday? Because you know what we saw wasn't a Nathan Jones Charlton side in that first half.
Well, look, you have to ask the players that, but I saw a lethargy in our first half performance that we had to change. You know, we changed and we tried something different as well. So it's not all just down to that. But look, we were better second half with more energy about us. They've trained well this today. I've reiterated what is expected this weekend. You know, you go to Wickham. Wickham's a tough place to go, always is. And if you're not at it, they usually punish you. Like, I don't can say about my record there because I don't want to jinx that or anything. But look, it's a tough place to go. You know, it always used to be under Gareth, and now, you know, under Matty, it's exactly the same. So we've got to make sure that we're right at it, and I'll do that, and I'll demand as much as I can because I won't be relaxed. Well, I don't them relax until 3 o'clock on Saturday. That's not time for me to relax mine, but. For them, you know, that's when they can start thinking about Vegas and everything else.
Yeah, it looks like we travel to Adams Park for the final game of the season with another sold-out away end, which will be fantastic. And is it too simplistic to say, but you'll be looking for that complete performance and maybe 90 minutes instead of the 45 on Saturday to send them at the end of the season home happy?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to do that because we want to see progression and everything. We don't want to let this season peter out too. We want to win a football game. We want to, you know, keep adding points, keep adding certain things. And I said, come on, it wasn't about like just surviving. It's about how far can we go? Like how far? I mean, you know, we should be mid-table now, like from where we were in terms of the points. But we're not for some reason. So we've evaluated that. We know what we need to do, and moving forward, we'll do that. But I want us to finish as strong as possible.
You're giving updates on most of the injured players up to this point, but one of the noticeable absentees in recent games has been Ashley Menard Brewer. Any update on how Ashley is and likely to figure before for this final game or not?
No, he picked up an injury, a jaw injury actually, which he picks up injuries because he's probably one of the bravest humans you'll see in terms of. So he picked up just a collision injury and things. So. Being a goalkeeper, you can't risk that, you know, in terms of stuff. So we've just pulled him out in terms of that. There's only sort of a couple of games left, so we didn't want to risk anything. So that's why Ashley picked up an injury in training, innocuous really, but that's why.
So there we go. That's Nathan looking ahead to the final game of the season. He mentioned his record at Adams Park. Well, they said he wasn't going to mention it because he didn't want to jinx it, but I'll mention it on his behalf. He's played there 5 times, all with Luton. He's won 3 and drawn 2, so he's unbeaten on his 5 trips to Adams Park. Although, one of those is in the FA. Oh no, the FA Cup was an away game. Yeah, so yeah, he's got a good record there. So obviously, it counts for nothing. One thing that you can often get quite strange results on a final day of the season. So whilst Wickham are actually in a decent bit of nick, actually, considering the I think they've only lost one of the last 10 in League One, they've got the special occasion with with, of course, the Joe Jacobson, who's playing his final game for them. So he'll be playing when he wasn't normally be playing at the end of this season. You'll get players who are on the beach. You might get young players from both sides who want to impress you. It's always quite hard to predict a last game of the season.
Yeah, and I guess even for us, we don't know how Nathan's going to set up, because is he going to put in people that he's still not quite sure about for next season, just to see if like that's your final kind of look at them in match play. Last games of the season are always weird, aren't they? And like you say, when we remember back to when like Parley's last game for Charlton scoring against Coventry, and like you're talking about the player Joe that's having his last game on Saturday, it's like potentially you've got it to sort of him to have a big game and do really well. But I think we're going to win Saturday. I've just got a feeling. Everyone will hate me now for saying that.
Especially when we lose, yeah.
Especially when we lose 5-0. But no, seriously, it's probably one, aside from the first game of the season, I think it's the hardest game to predict, really.
It's pretty much always, unless we're actually getting involved with anything exciting, a game where the pressure's off and it can sort of go either way. I mean, Luke says, I feel like it could be a goal fest on Saturday for some reason. Ian says, I predict no clean sheet. D-Max says, another draw. John says, guaranteed draw. 1-1 certainly, says James Mitchell as well. I mean, the interesting thing, I mean, I assume that our games will be right up there in terms of average goals. We're actually sixth. So our games, in terms of total goals for and against, we're sixth in League One. And actually, Peterborough and Barnsley have both had 144 goals in their games, whereas we're only on 128. So I was slightly surprised about we're not a little bit higher than that. We're on this unbeaten run. I know Facts and Stats wrote a nice article for the club website, just detailing some of the stats that we're sort of up against. I mean, obviously, this run, if we go unbeaten Saturday, so we'll equal the club record of 15 games without defeat, which was in 1980. But tellingly, we won 13 of those games, whereas let's say we draw on Saturday, we would have won 4. So that's sort of why this unbeaten run isn't quite as exciting as the one in 1980 or the one under Curbs a few years ago, where we still won, I think, out of the 14, about 12. We're on record to equal the club record amount of draws as well. I think we've already done that. In fact, we're on 20. So last time we did that was 95-96, where we actually made the playoffs. So we obviously had a lot more wins and defeats in that game, in that season as well, Mark. So a couple of records up for grabs, not massively exciting ones just because of the season we've had, but it'd be nice to get the unbeaten record just to say something's come out of this year.
Well, it would. I mean, I'm thinking I'd be going for the old Desmond on Saturday, because I think there's going to be goals in it. It's going to be, you know, it could be, even be higher than that. I was just feeling a bit sorry for Ashley, saying that now he's wearing the Zorro mask, he's done his drawing, he's going to be playing next season in a motorcycle helmet. I think it's one of those ones. You're right, it always throws up those kind of results. But I'm thinking it is, for us being us, it'll be a draw. I think, you know, Alfie will probably score one just to cement his, you know, golden boot for League One. And, mate, you know, it'd be nice to see Carnu get one. So, yeah, I would take a draw. I really would. So I think this season, it would just sum up our season if we draw.
Yeah, oh, yeah, certainly would. I mean, one stat that we know we're getting is it's our lowest finish since 1926, Sue. We're almost certainly going to finish 16th, I think. I think the team below us is... like, we'd have to overtake us on goal difference as well. So there's no way we finish 15th. I think there have to be a bit of a swing. In fact, there's not even enough points for us to finish 15th. So we'd definitely finish 16th or lower. The side below us, well, yeah, they're 3 points below us, Reading. So they could win. They've got a turn a goal difference of -3 and we've got 0. So maybe we could finish 17th if you want to move a place desperately. It's a weird place to finish in that, you know, the club are talking about this unbeaten run, which is good, and Nathan's made a bit of a difference, but it just highlights how bad this season has been and is our worst, you know, anywhere near to the modern era. It shows that we have got a lot of rebuilding to do in the summer, because we're starting at our lowest point.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the club are, at the moment, they're trying to sell season tickets, aren't they? So we're going with this. We've had this massive unbeaten run. But as I like to see Tash today say, you can't polish a turd. Nathan's done, I think, the best job that he could possibly do with the squad that we've got. I think anyone would have struggled to have got anything more out of the squad. I know that sounds really harsh, but it is what it. I'm just saying what I think a lot of us are thinking. So, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of us are just relieved that we've stayed up, because it was quite a long period of time where we were actually really fearing, like genuinely, that we were going to go down. So the fact that we've stayed up, as sad as it is that we're in the situation we're in, we've now got to just go, right, you know what, like, we've written the season off. It's a lot to be learned from it. And Nathan's very much a manager that's just going to look forward and think positively. And I think we've got to try and, as a fan base, which I think we've been doing, go along with that, with him, and get behind whatever squad he gets in for the new season, start afresh, forget about what's happened. It's done now. We can't do anything about it. And just think really, really positively for the new season.
Excellent stuff. Right, we're coming to the end of the show. Just a couple of notices to bring to your attention. So on Tuesday, April the 30th, 7 p.m. kickoff, the under-16s playing at the Valley against Bristol City. It's the Premier League Professional Development League Cup final. So if you want to go down and cheer on the under-16s down at the Valley on Tuesday, you can. It's only £3 for adults, £2 for concessions. Whereas if you had a season ticket this season or you're a Valley Gold member, it's free. So make sure you go and check that out if you want to go and cheer on the young lads in their cup final. If you want more live Charlton content immediately after this show, Sam Wyatt, who's been in the comments of our show this evening, you may know he does the Charlton All-Time Fantasy 11 Club. A few of us have been on his show over the course of the year, along with a few of the other people who do chat on YouTube and that sort of stuff. He's doing a run through of everyone sort of who voted for their favourite 11 immediately after this. So go and check out Sam's show. I'm going to pop on at some point, maybe about 8:45. So yeah, have a look at that as well. So that's the all-time Charlton Fantasy 11 Club are going to do a live show immediately after I won. So if you want more Charlton chat, that's the place to go. And that's talking about the past. So that's a lot more fun than the present, which is what we unfortunately have to talk about. Right, this has been our last live show of the season. So Sunday morning, we're not going to be on live at 10 a.m. on YouTube. We're going to be recording a show Sunday evening at the Player of the Year dinner. So no live show on Sunday. The Player of the Year dinner will go out as a podcast. I'll try and put it on YouTube as well, although it'll just be a picture with the sound in the background, so you can watch it at your computer if that's easier as well. So make sure you don't log on 10 a.m. Sunday, because we won't be here, but look out for the Player of the Year show, which will drop overnight on the Sunday evening. Hopefully we'll speak to whoever wins the Player of the Year, whoever that massive mystery will be. And after we've spoken to Alfie, we'll try and get a couple of the other players. Maybe Nathan will speak to us. I'm going to try for Dobbo, but absolutely no promises on that front. So make sure you check out that show. So as I say, massive thank you for those of you, my daughter's just coming in. Massive thanks to those of you who have joined us live over the course of the year. And we'll see you again next year. Sue and Mark, it's been a pleasure to have you on this evening.
Thanks, all.
You're welcome, mate. Cheers. Excellent stuff. Thanks to everyone, like I say, who's joined us in the live chat. Make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel. Subscribe on our podcast channels as well, so you never miss another live show. But for now, this has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Medes. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.